Welcome to All Road 65 Max Radio, where the road ahead gets brighter as we journey towards truth, traveling through our dreams and an inspiration into a new reality. It's time, and your ticket is waiting. All Roads Lead 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson.
Greetings. Thank you for joining me on BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max Radio. I am your host, Pamela L. Henderson. My focus is my mission statement: to help create a quality of life through social growth, inspiring Jews to become leaders by establishing partnerships with entrepreneurs, corporations, donors, sponsors, volunteers, the community, and abroad. Please join me every other Tuesday at noon on BBS Radio and follow me here at BBS Radio, All Roads 65 Max. My special guest today is Dr. Teresa Callahan, PhD, is a leading biochemist and skincare scientist with over 35 years of experience in international corporate skincare research. She is the author of Help, I'm Covered in Adjectives, Cosmetic Claims in the Consumer Navigating Science Regulations, and Myths in the Beauty Industry, Second Edition. She has also had more than 150 scientific and technical articles published. She sits on the Scientific Editorial Review Board of International Journal of Cosmetic Science, and is an active member of a number of professional societies, including the British Herbal Medical Association and the Scandinavian Society of Cosmetic Scientists. She is also an advisor to TKS Science Publisher, HPC, Today Journal, is scientific editor of Euro Cosmetic Magazine, as well as writing monthly column on Claim Insights for them. She contributes a monthly article to Beauty Streams on ingredient technologies. Without further ado, at last, I want to say thank you, Miss Teresa.
Well,
and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Pamela, for that wonderful introduction. And thank you for inviting me on the show this morning.
You're so welcome. I am so honored to have you, Doctor. And I must say, I read the bio, I read so much information, and I was taken in. And I want to commend you because you are one of the showmanship of women that states of jack of all trades. And you know that myth that they say, a jack of all trades, but a master of none, which is false. I am so happy to know and to have met you today because you are the leader of the understanding of the showmanship of how we are so creative and dynamic, and we can do so many different things when we are strategic and in time management. So I want to say that because I myself have a lot of different capabilities, and I'm very creative and I'm very strategic. And I believe, such as you, that we know hard work exists, but my main focus, I'm like Warren Buffett, it's about working smart, not hard.
Oh, so yes. If a job's worth doing, it's worth doing properly and getting it right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. How's the weather out there?
Horrible. Of course, it's just after 9 p.m.
Is it?
But
okay.
It's been grey and cloudy, and we've had storms rolling over the weekend. So we're at the end of them now, but we've missed the harvest moon as a result because it's all cloudy, so we can't see it because the harvest celebrations over the weekend. But never mind, you know,
forward.
I'm sure it will be a clear evening.
It's
freezing
it's
cold.
So true. Even out here, the weather has been so bipolar. You know, one day it's hot, next day it's cold. We don't know what to expect, right?
Say lappy.
Well, I have a lot of questions. I want to get to it. I'm going to just ask you different scenarios where you can explain to the world about your expertise. But first and foremost, let's get to the book.
Sure.
Tell me about the book.
Right. The book came about following a series of workshops that I had given on how to develop cosmetic claims, and this was for people in the industry. And many of the delegates had asked me on successive workshops, is there a book? So I decided to put one together because the industry really did need this. What had happened, and I'm talking specifically about Europe, was that we had big changes back in 2009 with the cosmetic legislation. And then in 2013 came the enforcement of the claims that the Cosmetic Claims Act, if you like. And with that, there came six specific criteria that had to be fulfilled before your claim would be considered compliant. So if you were non-compliant with one of those, then you were non-compliant with a whole lot. And so I decided to put together this common sense approach. It doesn't give you the answers that some people seek, because it's not, oh, I've got this question, this book is going to give me the answer. No, the book is probably going to give you a question back. And so it's to make you think and think about the impact that you are having when you develop your claims. But I also wrote it for the consumer as well, and for influencers, for marketing and journalists. So anyone who has an interest or a passion in cosmetics and wants to understand how the industry develops and creates its claims, at least legally speaking,
Right.
then in a way, it then fosters better dialogue between the industry and the consumer. And so this was why I put this together, because we were also facing, and it's getting beyond a, it's gone bonkers now. It's the misinformation that's out
Oh,
there.
true.
And as you know, there's misinformation about everything, you know, your car, your washing machine, you name it, but also about cosmetics. And it's we need to find a way of sitting down with each other to talk about cosmetics and to talk about how they are developed and how, yes, they are safe. You know, because we have this problem now with the ingredient listing. If a consumer says, oh, I can't pronounce this chemical name, therefore it must be bad for me. You know, so as a scientist, I'm tearing my hair out when I hear that. You know, because I'm just thinking, well, you know, you like eating apples. Look at the chemical composition of an apple, and that will give you something to worry about. But so people should be afraid of chemistry, you know, because life is chemistry, and it can be a lot of fun, and it's a fascinating subject. Absolutely. So yes, that was really the basic essence why I put the book together, and it's been a very helpful guide for people also entering the industry, you know, like the young indie brands. Wanting to get their head around the legislation, what does it mean? And, you know, also is what you need to be very careful with the choice of words that you use, because you might be implying something that isn't actually true. So it does take a lot of lateral thinking. as well. So you have to look at the wider picture, and not just focusing on this ivory tower, if you like. So that's where the book came from. And I found that many of my male colleagues and also my brothers and that, they say, oh, now I understand what this is all about now.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Cosmetics is not just makeup. It's shampoo too and
That's,
shampoo products. Yes.
absolutely. What inspired you to write it?
My passion for the industry. It's been my home for more than 35 years. I care about it very much. And I hate seeing it when either the industry's attacked unfairly or otherwise it's done something stupid itself. And so it's in a way, it's me giving something back. And because I'm not going to be in it forever. And it was, I really did want to help, basically. Got all this stuff in my head,
Right.
can't let it go to waste. And when I'm engaging with these young people in the industry, and you see their enthusiasm and their motivation, and of course their energy, this vibrant energy that they have, you want to help guide that energy into delivering something really wonderful for consumers to use. So yes, that was there too. Apart from the odd bit of frustration when you're sitting in a marketing meeting and
Right.
seeing marketing having a bit of a slanging match with an R&D colleague about what shade of pink a lipstick should be, but that's by the by. Yeah. It does
So
happen now
true.
and again.
So true. Now, over the years, have you seen the changes in the cosmetic industry? Because, like you said earlier, it's so much out and like someone like me, I'm very particular of the cosmetics and the skin care that I like to use and everything. And I have to be honest, doctor, a lot of skin care out here is not good. So has the ingredients like really changed, or is are people just in the lab just putting things together and just putting it out there? But they have beautiful marketing
Oh,
advertising.
marketing is beautiful. Yes, if you look at the advertising running back from the 1920s, where you could use, they were advertising, use the soap in the bath and you could wash away all
Right.
that, and now everybody's using injections. Yeah. So whoops. So you could move from advertising like that and then the 1950s type of advertising that you had to look perfect and everything was focused, which I think was really nasty, only on white women, you're just thinking, hey,
Right.
and then it then pushes it into, it started to bring a lot of sexual innuendo into it, and then
Yes.
you had everybody had to be perfect, but then how do you define perfect? And yet, when you look at the legal definition of what a cosmetic is, it's not about beauty, it's not about fashion, it's about keeping your skin in good condition.
Absolutely.
But what has moved on, of course, is the understanding in skin science. So we know a lot about how the skin as an organ of the body works and how it interacts with the external environment, but also the internal one, because all your organs are linked together, they're not standalone functional items. And the skin as a sensory organ of the body,
Right.
it's sensitive to, it's a touchy-feely thing. It's not a fashion item, should we say.
Right.
And so, what has improved certainly is our knowledge of chemistry, our knowledge of toxicology. That has vastly improved, and also our growing expertise in clinical research and all the testing. But there is a disconnect in that there is insufficient global harmonization when it comes to the legislation, because I'm lucky. I'm sitting here in Europe, and I think we've got great legislation. It could be a lot better, but it's really good. And it's constantly being upgraded, evolving, and new things changes. But you sitting in America, it took the FDA 80 years to upgrade the legislation, and which I think is unfair on American consumers in a way. And of course, with today, with everybody living online, they can shop anywhere in the world. You can buy products from Korea, China, Australia, Europe, and so can I. And this is how, so the consumer is global, but the legislation is local and regional. And so we need better harmonization. It's getting there, but I just wish it would move a little bit faster. That's all. I think everybody would. But the other thing I think is where we've moved on, it is because of having consumers fired up, that they are vocal, that they have the tools in which to be vocal, i.e. social media. We gain a lot from that. We are educated too by what they want and what they don't want. But then, as I said earlier on, there's a lot of misinformation out there. So how do we get past this and communicate effectively so that everyone's happy, if you know what I mean? And so it's a case of we're moving away from marketing spokespeople of the past to where, when you're in a product launch with a bunch of beauty journalists, they want to speak to the horse's mouth. They want to speak to the scientists. Like, you, Mr. Scientist, tell me about these ingredients. Tell me about this clinical study. Tell me about how you saw this and this going on. And this is starting to gather momentum, and it's working. We're getting there. Rome wasn't built in a day, but yeah, it could build a bit faster, as I said.
How did you become a skincare scientist?
By accident, total accident. I was quite happy doing my PhD in plant biochemistry, of all things. I was studying enzymes in plants, but I became fascinated by the skin research that were it was a particular skin disease that was going on in the lab next door, and this totally fascinated me because I could see certain similarities between the way these shall we say enzyme mechanisms were working, and I thought I would really like to do this as my postdoc. And so the professor said, well, he said, I can get you a postdoc in Paris. Would you like to go? So I went. I ended up in Paris at the Pasteur Institute, which was a big whoa for me, definitely. And while I was there, Christian Dior came along and asked for some help with a research project on their Capture product, which is the liposome serum of old. back then. Gosh, that was a long time ago, back in the 1980s. And that's how I ended up in skincare.
Wow, that
Yes,
was your calling.
that was
That was your calling.
been there ever since, definitely. Yeah.
Yes, that was your calling. So right now they say South Korea has the best skincare. Do you agree?
Oh, I think Japan does.
Wow,
Yeah,
really?
I think Japan. I've all my career, I've looked at different products. That doesn't mean to say the products coming out of Germany, America, or the UK or France are bad. It's looking at the whole picture, and the Japanese have always had, they're famous for silk, and this is how they formulate. They formulate with the fineness of silk, say as compared to products required for cold northern climates that need to be heavier, and therefore you just think, oh, is it boiled wool? There's nothing wrong with boiled wool. It keeps you warm in the winter, but they really do have this very fine way of formulating. And but in terms of the ingredients, everyone has access to the same ingredients. It just depends on how you put them together and the creativity of the formulator and their marketing opposite number. How well they work together as a team. But when you formulate products, you always have to formulate for the user, for the consumer. So obviously, consumers living in northern climates are going to want to have something, particularly in the winter, that's going to protect them from severe dry, sensitive, wind sensitive skin. Whereas if you're in a hotter climate, you're not going to want something gunky or heavy. You're going to want something finer, but you still want them to deliver the same benefits. And that's also where the skill comes in how you put the key active ingredients in a product that's as fine as silk, and also then in a product that would be like wool. Yeah, do you get that? Yeah.
Yes, I got that. I got that. And
But
that's
it's
something
true.
that
Korea is exciting because it's fast, it's young, and it just so happens that yes, Asia is trendy at the moment. Why not?
it is.
I'm all for bringing Africa is untapped, has this untapped potential that really needs to. Because I work with some customers in South Africa, and it's amazing. And I'm just thinking, well, get these products out, So, but I think also it's what's exciting is, and this is what makes cosmetics exciting at the global level, is because we have access to some really beautiful ingredients from all over the world, and we should be celebrating that.
And that is true. And one thing you did state that I want to learn more and get to know more about is Africa
Yes.
skincare, because they have this bar soap, and it is, and I forgot what's the name of it. Anyway, it was really, really good, but I can't seem to find it any longer. I know a lot of their products are like in some of the retail stores like Walmart. I think I bought that bar of soap for the face in Sally's Beauty Supply, where it's close by my house, but they don't have it anymore. And so here I am. I'm fighting against melasma that I had gotten on my face and everything. And I did try some laser treatments That doesn't work. Not to me. Not to me. Really being into the skin, as you stated earlier, will really help you when you find that product for you. That means you don't, like the product shouldn't like cause you to break out in rashes or have any type of irritation on your skin. It should make you feel like after you wash your face and put your moisturizer on or anything else, you're feeling like a new pair of shoes out here, right?
Yes, your skin should feel comfortable and in good condition, which is what we're about. It's not miracles. Your cosmetic products are not miracles, and we need to, always to emphasize that it's not to have over expectations of a cosmetic product. Because they're not drugs, and if you want miracles, then there's only one God in heaven above, and He will provide them if we ask Him for them. Sorry, but yes, cosmetic products really do. They can provide this sense of well-being. If you find products that you are really happy with, then you are going to feel well as a result of that. And so it's a case of always being in tune with what your skin is telling you, rather than what somebody on TikTok is telling you, if you like.
True.
We are nearly 5 billion individual human beings with individual skin types. There's a lot of overlap, don't get me wrong, there is. But if you have dry skin and I have dry skin, they're probably not the same,
Correct.
right? Now, there may be products out there that can help that dry skin. But if we're looking for something more specific, then we have to dig deeper into, well, what do we mean by moisturization at the end of the day? So why is it that your skin needs moisturizing? And why is it does my skin need moisturizing? And so when we break each of these points down, then we can target the product. But today, because we don't have those in-store skin advisors, as we used to call them. Gosh, I'm showing my age here. We buy online, and so we have to take what we read online as basically as the guide to purchasing a product. And so, yeah, that's not always good.
Yeah,
Sometimes you need to speak to someone.
absolutely.
So
I
that
do agree.
they can actually see, and a dermatologist can't see properly over the internet. No, definitely not.
That is so true.
Yeah.
You write about the misinformation that is out there in regard to cosmetic company claims about their products. What types of things do they tend to fudge, in your opinion?
Oh, tend to fudge. Well, sometimes they extrapolate certain claims. So, for example, the free from claims, that's always an issue because free from claims are frowned upon by the legislators here, because at the end of the day, there is an inky listing, though you can argue, yeah, not everybody's educated to read an inky list. But also, is that sometimes when they provide these claims, they're actually denigrating legal ingredients and also denigrating the competition, because you're not allowed to denigrate the competition. Here in Europe, everyone has to have an equal footing. which is hard because in general business, all's fair in love and business, you know.
Right.
But certainly tends to fudge. Well, it's where for me where they fudge is when they make a claim, and that claim, whilst it has evidence, that evidence is not robust enough to justify the claim. So some, you know, whilst yes, you can run a study just say on five people and have statistical significance, you know,
Right.
that statistical significance doesn't mean anything if the user of that product doesn't see or doesn't notice a difference. And of course, they've only tested it on five individuals, not 100. And so it's these kinds of things that tend to be a bit fudgy, I would say. Fudgy. I like fudge, by the
Okay, me too. What do consumers need to do to make sure they are using products that are safe?
What do
In
they?
your opinion.
Oh, to make sure that they are using products that are safe, that then these are do the homework, jump online, investigate the product. Is it from a credible brand? Is the information that that brand is offering about the product? Are they talking about, you know, the studies that they ran to support the claims? Also, sharing the information that it was dermatologists tested, that they have the safety data that they are using. Obviously, if it's coming from Europe or even from America, they will be using legally approved ingredients. So it's a case of taking the time to do your homework, and the information will be found online. And also is to but also be wary though of a lot of these beauty apps, you know, because there are a lot of third-party apps talking about ingredients, and a lot of sometimes they scaremonger unnecessarily, right? You know, when I'm going back to the chemical composition of an apple,
Right.
or even banana. It's I know it's difficult for people who've never studied chemistry, and you know, these great big long names, you just think, oh my goodness me, you know, am I knitting a sweater here? But it's it really is, it is to do your homework, and yes, talk to people too, and be very aware. Well, again, this is going to be a little difficult too, is trying to differentiate between the science and the pseudoscience. If they're going to investigate, make sure that the science that they're reading is from peer-reviewed journals and not from Vogue magazine or some of these
Right.
beauty magazines where you're not quite sure. And even if you do come across articles in those magazines, if it's well written, they will have scientific references in there too. So it's credible in that regard. And because more and more cosmetic scientists are writing for these journals, which is great, and you will find that they do reference well. You know, you can't treat your skincare and cosmetics like fast fashion. You know, you need to take the time in the same way that, like, if you have a food allergy or something, you will do your homework to find out what you can and cannot eat. In some respects, with your skincare, yes, if you have allergies, you're going to investigate too. But if you're looking for something for you know, your dry skin or your greasy skin or your spots or your dandruff or something like this, that then yes, you do your homework.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I do agree. I do my homework. And I found something that was very good. I did use it in the past, but I got off course because it was so much and I wanted to try something else, but I'm back to doing what works for me.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Are there a lot of claims about cosmetic products being green and good for the environment that are fake?
Oh, goodness me. Yeah, here we have this sustainability trend, since the United Nations put up its 17 goals for sustainability and looking after the planet and the people and the plants on it. We do find that the industry did jump on that. And so when they the biggest problem is not in the choice of the natural ingredients that have gone there, because they have to be undergo the same regulations as the others. We have more of a problem with what happens afterwards. So if we are saying this is recyclable, the packaging is recyclable, if the area that you are living in doesn't have a recycling, how can that product be recycled? And
Right.
this is where people are getting caught out. And a lot of products are actually now being certified through organizations like Cosmos and Natru, and these are qualified certifications to have on your products. But the European Union and I know the UK, and to a certain extent it did happen or was starting to happen in the USA too, was the where the equivalent of the Consumer Marketing Authority was
Right.
basically clamping down on the so-called green sustainable claims and making quite in-depth investigations into this greenwashing, as we call it. Yes, so that yes, greenwashing is out there. Everything washing is out there. If
Yeah.
they can make it, if it means that they can make a fast buck, as the expression goes, they will try, definitely.
So true. Has the FDA or government regulatory bodies failed to protect or inform consumers, in your opinion?
Well, it took 80 years for
How
the
many?
80 years for the FDA to upgrade the Cosmetic Regulation Act.
Wow.
And so in that regard, you could sort of maybe feel a bit disappointed, shall we say, as consumers. But it's not that they fail outright. It's more of a case that when something happens, because they are legal entities, whether it's in America or over here or wherever, they're slow to act. It takes them time because they are bureaucratic machines at the end of the day, and it depends how
Right.
much petrol they've got in the machine to make them go. And this was what happened with the parabens. The parabens was a total debacle, and it go down in history as one of the biggest idiotic mistakes that anyone could make, because it was a load of rubbish about the parabens. Certain parabens were banned, yes, because they need to be, but as a result of all the misinformation and the fire and all the screaming abdabs that everyone was happening, the people with authority that could really have just basically said, no, it's this and this, and then put a lid that, just said, that's it, were too slow. And it all got very wishy-washy. And so marketing just suddenly decided we're going to have paraben phobia and we're going to inflict it on the consumers. And as a result of that, the industry has lost a big class of preservatives, of which cannot be replaced as yet. We have, of course, we haven't discovered new ones. That research work is still going on. And you are seeing products just falling apart in store as a result of this.
Wow.
So it was very sad. But it's I suppose if the regulators are impacting, according to the question that you asked, it's because perhaps the language that they use as regulators, because it's legal language, can be perceived as rather grey, wishy-washy. How do we interpret it? Which is typical of lawyer language at the end of the day,
Right.
and it could do with being a lot clearer, more specific, if you like.
How do European nations differ from what they sell or claim compared to the United States?
I think we're tougher,
Okay.
because we are more, when the legislation came into force, where there were six criteria w which you have to comply with. So first of all, it has to be legal, it has to be truthful, it has to be honest, it has to have evidence, that evidence has to be fair. And then, of course, then there's informed decision based on all the information, so the consumer can make that decision. So in a way, it's seen as the gold standard. So it's because even though we complain the language is a bit wishy-washy, it is quite well structured in terms of what you need to do. But with the modernization of the Cosmetic Regulation Act, which came into force back in 2023 in the USA, they have moved forward to bring in some of the things that we have in Europe. But many of my American colleagues are complaining they haven't gone far enough, and we have more banned ingredients than the USA does too. We have tens of, we have thousands that are banned ingredients, whereas that there are a lot less in the US. But I'm sure that will change very soon, because I know the FDA is looking at that too. So
Wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. Do you blame influencers, in your opinion, for helping to spread false cosmetic claims?
It depends which social media platform you're on. We moan about TikTok, don't we? It's the gospel according to TikTok, and that's it. And if you're a TikTok buff, then they don't want to listen to anyone else. But yes, there are influencers out there that are brilliant, that they know what they need to do, and they understand the law, so they understand what they can and cannot say. But then you also have influence out there that are just perhaps m maybe just more average, who are just have a presence on social media, and so they're sharing, oh, these are my favorite products, and you should be using these, and so all of a sudden that becomes advertising. And they come under the advertising regulations, and they don't realize this, or then they start spreading, oh, this product is for dry skin, but guess what? It suddenly, my hair started to grow, or the older, remember the toothpaste would get rid of acne. Toothpaste might get rid of acne spots, but it was never designed to do so. There were no clinical trials to do this, so that if a consumer used toothpaste to get rid of their acne and they had a problem, they would have zero comeback. The company would probably just slap them and just say, "Why were you so silly?" And so the influencers can either they are a force for good or they are a force for just total craziness. There doesn't seem to be much in between, and this is the frustration of it all, definitely. And back in July, I was at a Society of Cosmetic Scientists meeting, and it was there we decided that, like, for the next big meeting, we need to get influencers sitting in these scientific meetings
I do agree.
so that they could really understand, because you don't
Their
have to be.
jobs.
Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist either to understand what's going on, and we could tailor the program for them. But it's these kinds of things that the industry has to catch on to now. We've got to do it, otherwise we'll just fall over. I've written a series of novels about the collapsed beauty industry and what arose out of it. And it's not very nice, no. And so influencers really, we need them, you know?
Yes.
And they should use us. You know,
Yeah.
we are there for them, definitely.
In your opinion, what level of transparency exists in today's landscape of cosmetic advertising?
Right. The advertising standards authorities that I'm used to dealing with are pretty robust when it comes to cosmetics. But for example, in the UK, if a consumer makes a complaint, the Advertising Standards Authority has to investigate, even if it's just one complaint, right? Have to make that investigation, and then that investigation, once completed, is then put up in the public domain. Here in Germany, doesn't work like that. It only goes up in the public domain if the brand says, "No, I'm not going to change my claims. I'm not going to do this." And of course, then it ends up in the court, and then of course, then the courts decide if they're going to make it public or not. And so that gets a little bit grey. France and Italy are very good, also too, about keeping it out there. And also in America, the FTC, they're on the ball. You know, if you get a pink letter from the FTC, then you know you better act on it, definitely.
Right.
But we also have, even here in the EU, even though the legislation is the EU, there are 28 countries, and they have all have their own interpretation of the law, and so there are certain different nuances, you know. So you know what color is blue? Well, no, that's not blue, that's green. No, maybe it's purple, you know. So it yes, that but on the whole, yeah, it does depend on where you are. But yes, I'm in, even though I'm British, but I'm living here in Germany. I am envious of the UK's ASA. I think they've got it right, definitely. But also, so does the FTC. Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Why do people bother with wearing cosmetics, in your opinion, especially if they can be harmful to consumers or even the planet?
Why do they wear them? Well, we wear them for one because, well, oh yeah, good question. Yeah, I was having a conversation actually the other day with with an influencer on natural products. Yes, I suppose if you if you look at the history of cosmetics, you do wonder why the hell we do this, because men don't. Well, they do
Right.
now, and if they want to wear it, great, fine. And you can find children's cosmetics in store. It's each to his own. But there was always this societal pressure to that if you didn't look good, you were worthless. And
True. So true.
even when I was growing up, my mum always says, "Oh, are you clean and tidy? You going out? Got your lippy on?" And I was just thinking, but why? Yeah, I like, okay, it's a bit late, but I don't have any on.
I know we're almost finished.
But we do. It's all about how we are perceived by other people, I suppose. It's been ingrained into us. There's nothing wrong with wearing them, but what is the reason for doing it? If it's to cause harm to yourself or to someone else, as a consequence of wearing this, then
Right.
you need to question why are you doing it. I still don't believe that the cosmetics are bad on the skin. If you're using the right products, then they're not going to damage the skin. What people should be more worried about is exposing their skin to environmental damage, and that's why wearing a sunscreen is so important. It's more important than stocking up on your this trend for collagen products for
Yes.
20-year-olds, that they'd be far better off wearing a decent sunscreen and getting out of the sun at the end
I
of
do
the day.
agree.
Don't pickle yourself on a beach. Mad
Yeah.
dogs and Englishmen. What's that say? Yeah, mad dogs and Englishmen out in the midday sun. This is the 21st century. If we can't, if we haven't learned it now, I sometimes wonder if we ever will.
So true. My last question. You say there is a timeline between innovation and integrity. What do you mean by that?
Oh, the timeline between innovation and integrity. That means that there is a that you can't do things in a rush. It goes back to if a job's worth doing, it's worth doing properly.
Right.
And that requires time. And science has to have integrity. We cannot be an industry where pseudoscience overcomes us. We have some very good skin scientists. They work in the field of dermatology, bioengineering, microbiology, you name it. I mean, skin science is a multidisciplinary field and it can't be rushed, right? But the marketplace and the drive to satisfy consumers' insatiable appetite for new all the time.
Right? Yeah.
That's where you struggle with this. You start to struggle with integrity, and this goes back also to the criterion where it about honesty. Right, because if you have evidence, right, that evidence has to be truthful, which is the facts, right? But there also has to be honesty, and honesty is about the credibility and the integrity of what you have generated. An example would be why do you need a 72-hour antiperspirant?
Right? So
Right.
true.
What's the logic of it? unless of course you're in the armed services away somewhere, or if you're stuck on a flight that's suddenly taking you 72 hours. But the average consumer does not need a 72-hour antiperspirant. But we're seeing this, seeing the advertising creeping through. Now, it's not that there isn't legal evidence to support that claim, because it's a very well-defined protocol. But you have to ask, what's the relevance of that? And therefore, does it lack integrity because of that? So that's where I was coming from, I think.
Very good. Thank you for sharing.
You're
You
welcome.
have it, world. Dr. Callahan. Well, listeners, I have reached my destination, and I leave you with this quote. People often say that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I say that the most liberating thing about beauty is realizing you are the beholder. Salma Hayek, thank you so much for joining me today. Until next time, have a beautiful day. God bless.
Thank you for listening to All Roads 65 Max Radio with Pamela Henderson. Join us every other week on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio Station 1. And please visit allroads65max.org and become a volunteer or sponsor and be the change you want to see in this world. With your help, we can make a difference in our society and uplift those who so desperately need our help. Thank you for tuning in.